give everybody your name and what it is that you do.
So my name is Landon James. I'm 17 years old from Lamont, Illinois, and I'm actually an Elvis tribute artist.
So let me know, what age did you start wanting to be an Elvis tribute artist?
So I actually started at the age of 9, and I was watching Full House with John Stamos, and actually, you know, Bob Saget unfortunately just passed away. But yeah, John Stamos was Jesse on it, and he was Elvis, so I got into it that way. My mom and dad actually are metalheads. I always joke about this. And they actually like, you know, like Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and all like real hard rock. And I love that stuff too. But ever since when I was 9 years old, I listened to Full House. I looked up Elvis. And, you know, ever since then, I really got into it. I love it now.
So, because this is not weird. It's just like there's like a plethora of different artists around that time. And for you to gravitate towards, you know, Elvis, well, because of Full House, obviously. Did you ever experiment with like a Michael Jackson or any other stars in that era?
Funny enough, I'm actually a big Dave Matthews fan. My mom and dad love Dave Matthews. And because I have, when I'm not singing Elvis, I have a higher range anyway. So I'll try to sing Dave Matthews. And I've been playing guitar since I was 5 years old. I was taught for 10 years by a college graduate, Tom Peters in Lockport. And he taught me all music theory and stuff. So I consider myself pretty well on guitar. So being able to apply that to something like doing Dave Matthews and trying to sing like him is fun. Also, I sometimes write my own music, but in the future, I might end up putting some of it out after I get really well known with Elvis or something like that.
So, you started at what age learning the guitar?
I started around 5 years old, actually. And that's why I got my first guitar. I got taught since then. I was in a school jazz band for a while. So I knew a lot of crazy chords and stuff like that. You know, I'm not the best in the world. You know, Eddie Van Halen, Randy Rhoads are the best in the world, in my opinion. And, you know, but I consider myself kind of more of into, not that I'm into classical music, 100%. I love classical music, but I'm more into the classical learnings of guitar, which means, because now a lot of people will use tablature to learn guitar and stuff. And I have no problem with that. I use tablature too. But when I first started, I used what is called musical notation, which is kind of you have to read the note instead of reading, you know, the number on the line, you know. So I learned a different way than most people do these days. So I find it interesting.
So I'm not a music student or anything like that. So could you explain the tablature? And do you think learning classical, the classical way of learning, you find it better than the more modern way or just different?
Well, you know, I think they both have their ups and downs, because if you're just a beginner guitarist, you know, first time and you really just want to learn a song quick, I would recommend tablature. But if you're looking into long term and you really want to know the history and just kind of I guess you would say the more vintage, original, authentic way, in my opinion, is probably with musical notation. And, you know, I enjoy both ways. And, you know, also, to explain what tablature is for your other question, tablature basically, there's six lines and it represents the strings on a guitar. So E, A, D, G, B, E, going down from up. And then from left to right, you'll see numbers on one of those strings. And if it says six on the one bottom string, you'll go to the sixth fret on the guitar and play that note. It's complicated to explain it on a podcast, but, you know, obviously I could do a whole, you know, I could talk about it for hours. I could do a whole PowerPoint presentation on it, to be honest with you. You know, I enjoy it so much. Like, you know, I think people get nervous because they know when they ask me about it, I'm going to give them this long answer. So I'm being nice today. I'm not going to give my 5-hour answer on tablature.
No, I appreciate that. I get, because when I hear tablature, I'm thinking of just like using a tablet. It's like using using GarageBand on a tablet. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe that's a new way of doing it, I guess.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows? So in terms of learning, you think it's beneficial for people to learn, lack of a better phrasing, the old way of learning music? Or have you used like any new techniques and any new modern way of learning music now?
So to answer that, you know, when I first learned, I feel like learning musical notation, classical way, I think it actually helps you apply it when you're trying to learn tablature or anything else, in my opinion. And because a lot of artists these days, some do musical notation, some do tablature, some do both, some just learn by ear and never even know what a note is. So now that I know, you know, in general terms, you know, like, I know how to read musical notation, but I know the idea of tablature, or just, I'm really good at learning by ear as well. So I can apply what I learned to anything else. So if I just knew tablature and someone gave me a sheet music, you know, a paper with notes on it, I wouldn't know what to do. But since I know how to read musical notation, I can kind of understand the tablature, I can do it, you know, and I think they all have their benefits. And actually, what helps with that, with my Elvis tribute, it sounds weird, but it does help. When you learn even tablature, I'll say, just in general, there's scales on a guitar, certain arrangement of notes, I would say, and or array of notes. And basically, if I'm singing an Elvis song in the key of G, like Suspicious Minds, we're caught in a trap, I can't walk out. And then they switch it to a key in like A flat or something. We're caught in a trap, or we're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. You know, obviously I didn't warm up yet today, but when it's easy for me to switch keys, per se, if the band messes up. Like I remember once hearing an Elvis tribute artist sing, but the band was in a different key and he didn't know how to switch keys. He wasn't used to it. So that's the difference between someone like that guy and me, because I've been learning scales and how to change or transpose keys my whole life since I was 5. So, you know, I think actually learning guitar actually helped apply to my Elvis tribute a lot.
So when you're doing a cover of an Elvis song, do you feel tempted usually to go off the beaten path? Like you said, some tribute artists, the band would switch the keys on them. Do you think, have you experimented with doing an Elvis song in your own style? Or do you feel like when you're doing tribute artists like Elvis, that you should stick to the exact format of the song?
Well, there's a difference between Elvis tribute and Elvis impersonator. Elvis impersonator will go around trying to look like Elvis every day. You know, and I don't do that. You know, I'm only a 17-year-old kid out of a town it's kind of a big town here in Lamont. It's not bad. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. Here, can you ask the question one more time? I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's, have you personally ever tried to do an Elvis song in your own style, like do your own style cover of an Elvis song?
Sorry, I got off track. But you know, I experimented a little bit just by myself, just maybe some of the more B-side records of Elvis. And I always thought maybe I would record one or two. And there's a few people I heard that did that. And I'm not really into re-recording Elvis songs, even if it's my own cover. or it's someone trying to sound like Elvis. I've never been a fan of recording myself to redo an Elvis song. I'd rather have someone listen to the real record than listen to me singing an Elvis song. And, you know, but sometimes on stage, like in my shows, I'll sing in an Elvis voice, but I won't try to talk exactly like Elvis or be like, hey, baby, you know, I won't try to be him exactly. Sometimes I'll throw in a joke, like he's the joke about drinking water on stage, and you'll say like, wow, wow, man, it's stupid. But for Elvis fans, it's funny to them because Elvis did it, you know, and sometimes I'll throw in jokes like that or anything like that, you know, but, sometimes during my shows though, you know, like towards the end of the show, I'll do like an acoustic part where I'll take requests, or sometimes I'll even see like Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Dave Matthews, just to change it up to try to reel in some of the younger crowd, because some of the younger crowd isn't totally comfortable with Elvis tributes. It's more of the older crowd. So I like to kind of spread out my fan base.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So you mentioned, you sort of mentioned the difference between Elvis tributor and an Elvis impersonator. So why, so you said because of your age, is there another reason why you just went to be an Elvis tributor and not a full-blown impersonator?
It's not on, you know, I probably said it wrong, but it's not based on age with it. It's more of just a respect thing because, you know, I don't know. I just, when you're trying to be someone else, and no Elvis tribute has ever said this quote unless I've never heard it, but there's one quote that someone said that Elvis said to her, and I think it was Linda Thompson actually, but Elvis said to her that he doesn't want any Elvis to think that they're him. Even back in the 70s, before, like early 70s before he died, there was a couple Elvis tributes out there, like Rick Sacedo, and he's known in Chicago. I know him, but he's a good guy and he's really good. But you know, Elvis didn't want people or Elvis tributes or Elvis impersonators, whoever, to be him or think they're him. So I always put that in my head, you know, so I don't try to be him, because, you know, I don't want to, I'm Landon James, you know, I'm not Elvis Presley, but I tribute to him. So I do my best on stage to just sing the songs, make the crowd happy, and maybe throw in a couple jokes like he did, or change it up a little bit too. And, you know, as long as I pay my respect and have a crowd that's happy, that's what really matters to me.
That's a good point, man. So you seem to be very knowledgeable. Like, how long did it take you to be, you know, acquired so much knowledge about Elvis? Did it start from, you know, 9 years old or just recently?
You know, at 9 years old, I didn't exactly know I only knew like 3 songs of Elvis, to be honest with you. And, probably ever since I started like 2.5-3 years ago, right? Kind of when almost like probably half a year maybe before COVID started, you know, when it was like the whole panic thing in like March or whatever, you know, that's when I really started it, like, I guess you would say, I don't know the word, but kind of like observing videos of Elvis or kind of seeing maybe mannerisms, moves, certain vocal stuff, or just even just about his personal life. So, because, you know, I'm already telling you like quotes and stuff by Elvis, obviously 9 years old, I wouldn't be talking like this, you know, but I think after so long now, and obviously it's only going to keep getting more and more knowledgeable, you know, when I get older, but you know, and I just find it interesting to know about his life. Like, you know, I learn things every day about Elvis, and I just find it interesting, kind of like if someone else was looking into some history or about, like, you know, I used to find like the Declaration of Independence stuff, like back in the 1700s of the US and all that stuff interesting. Just so like history, because some people are into like history or learning about their favorite artists on how they started. So I guess it's kind of like that, but with Elvis.
Right. I got you. So because it's very different to just know an artist's whole catalog, right? Like, if you want to play tribute, you need to know, like, I guess their life story and maybe the little nooks and crannies of, you know, the people they used to hang out with and their personality and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you find from his life experiences, has any of it, like, I don't know, like you said, kind of brushed up on you a way in the way that you do things in life?
Not exactly, because, well, yes and no, because obviously some of the things kind of, like, obviously towards the end of his life, basically his whole life, probably from 1958, probably till 1977, his death, you know, he did some drugs, and, you know, I just hate that some people say, like, oh, he was a drug addict, he was always a fat guy. He wasn't fat. There's a lot of Elvis tribute artists out there, some that are really big compared to Elvis, and some, though, some are from medical reasons, and I understand that, and, you know, and some just, you know, like to eat. You know, I'm a bigger set guy, you know. I'm tall too. I'm about 6'2", so I'm really tall, so I'm a bigger set guy. And also, though, you know, Elvis had a problem too, where he got bloated easily. Because one day, so this is a fun fact. So in 1976 and through those days, you would see some shows he wouldn't look bloated, some shows he did. And it was because just he had an issue with that. And I have the same issue. It's crazy. And I got it, I think, from my mother. But it's just, you know, some of the things he did rub off on me as maybe how I think about when I sing a song. Because, like, when all of a sudden, like, Always on My Mind or Separate Ways, that was when he got divorced from Priscilla back in 1972. So when I ever sing that song, I think about what he was thinking about, or what I'm thinking he probably was thinking about, because he was definitely sad after that divorce and stuff, you know. So I kind of just try to put that emotion towards the song. So, you know, so that's probably one of the bigger things I'll probably take from him. And, you know, and I find his life very interesting. And he seemed like, sorry, one more thing, but he seemed like a very good guy. Obviously, I never met him, but from what his friends on, like, certain documentaries say, he seems like a guy that was easy to talk to and a good friend and just a good person and very generous. So that's how I try to apply that stuff to my tribute. And at every show, I always thank every single person for coming out because I'm generous. And even Elvis said that he was thankful for all of his fans. And that's how I am as well.
Yeah, that's true. Because especially if it's someone, because usually even as me, I'm not talented or anything like that, like you. But usually when I get into a song that I listen to, you know, if it gets to me, like if it hits to the core, usually try and kind of jump into the artist's shoes a little bit just to see, like, what type of mindset they were, you know, when they created, you know, their song or their piece.
Well, I have to agree with that. You're so right, because I bet all the listeners out there could even say when they're sad, they'll listen to depressing songs. When they're really happy, they'll listen to, like, total crazy rock, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Or sometimes when someone's sad, they want to listen to a happy song. But at least of what I kind of observe, a lot of people tend, when they're sad, to listen to sad songs and, you know, happy songs, you know? So I guess that's how, kind of, like you're saying, like, you get into the artist's shoes a little bit, you know, and you get to feel what the artist was feeling when he or she was singing a song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So, have you dabbled in any other instruments, or do you just stay with the guitar?
Actually, yeah, I have a good amount. Drums, piano, alto saxophone. I did baritone saxophone for a while. Harmonica a little bit. Just a lot of instruments, you know, like probably my second most that I'm good at is probably like drums or bass as well, obviously, because bass is just the same as guitar, but with the less strings, basically. I could explain that, but I'll be here for an hour.
Yeah, no worries. So really quick, you mentioned in terms of schooling, did you go to, you said that you were taught by a music professor?
Well, not a music professor, but he was like a music teacher. Well, a guitar instructor is what I would rather call him. His name's gotcha. Tom Peters, and I've been with him since I was 5 years old, you know, and he is such a great guy. He still texts me every so often just to see how I've been, and he's such a wonderful guy, and he's definitely a big inspiration of why, you know, I've played an instrument such as guitar, and for a while I actually stopped playing guitar. This was probably like a year or two ago, but then for a while I've been getting way back into it and I've been getting way better. So I really give thanks to him for always inspiring me for doing that.
So he's pretty much the only type of instruction that you've had. You haven't gone to any music school or any production school or anything like that?
Well,
or planning on doing that?
Well, yeah, I also went to one called Allegro Music Academy with my teacher, Tim. And I went to him since 2016. I think I stopped about a year or two ago. Or no, a year and a half ago, I think. It's been a while. But he was a very good guy, too. And he taught me, like, vocal exercises and stuff. But, you know, when you're studying Elvis, it's hard to learn from anyone. You only learn from Elvis himself by watching his videos. So it's kind of hard to learn from a teacher on how to sing Elvis. But he used to teach me very good exercises and how to just explore new genres and stuff. And that was something I really appreciated from him. And also in my music school, like a few of my old teachers were pretty good as well, just like in my jazz band. And the marching band at my high school before I went into private online high school, he was not the greatest, to be honest with you. I'm not going to say his name. But, you know, I'm not going to lie and say he was good, you know.
Not everybody's like, cut out to do the good.
I know. I know I'm a talker, and you could probably tell, you know. But when you're in a 1.5-hour music class and he talks for 1 hour and you only get the 5 minutes to play music, I think that's kind of...
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God, man. He drove me nuts. And he was so politically correct. Just he could never tell students they were wrong or anything. It was just so weird, and I just didn't like it, you know. And they were lazy, man. They didn't do nothing. We had a 100-piece marching band. They would make the students do all the work, and I never understood it, because I asked my mom. She was actually she played French horn in marching band back in the day. She isn't a big musician, but she did a little bit during high school, and she said her band director was so dedicated and into it and always helped. Never like was in the office just sitting on a computer. So I don't know. I just, you know, it depends on the music teacher, but my two main teachers that are like the biggest inspirations are probably Tim, but number one will always be Tom Peters. And I'm probably gonna give him a text now after this to tell him what I was saying about him, because he's gonna be happy. He's a good guy. You know,
does he still teach?
Yeah, no, I think he's like 74 now. So I just think it's kind of crazy, because I was 5 and he was like early 60s. So I kind of grew up with him in a way, you know. It's kind of weird to think about it, because he remembers me when I first came in and I was like 4'10" or whatever, you know. Now I'm like 6'2", you know. It's just crazy how much I grew as a person and a musician. And I give a lot of thanks to him.
Yeah, that's very good. Not a lot of people, at least for what I think, are not very mindful of the older generation that kind of guided the, you know, people to do great things. You know, not a lot of that goes around anymore. People, you know, just idolize celebrities and not really those that were in the thick of it with them, you know, guide them in the right way. And that's good that you do that. So being so tall, did you ever try out any sports or anything like that?
So for 1 year when I lived in Arizona with my mom and dad, it was like 2010, I think. I was probably about, I was probably more like 6 years old, probably 5-6 years old. And I did a little bit of basketball. I remember I tried it once during like fifth grade. And to be honest, just I've always been more of a solo act. I never liked to. I never was a team player.
Team player?
No, the only reason, though, you know, it's just because, man, a lot of the kids that were in my school were always rude. And because I was always the one man out. I was always different than everyone else. Obviously, now I can tell why, because I'm in different music and stuff like that. But they would just always be in their groups. I never felt, I guess you would say, included with them. So I just never felt comfortable doing sports. But sometimes I'll play a little bit of basketball, just shoot at the hoop. And I have very trouble making a shot in the hoop. So I don't know. You know, maybe when I lose a couple pounds, maybe I'll try maybe doing like a rec basketball thing again. But sometimes I'll play like 1v1 with my one friend, Dan Drew. But he beats the hell out of me, man. You know, I'm not, you know, he shit on
Do you know if Elvis ever played sports in your research with him?
Oh yeah, no. Funny enough, I was on Elvis Radio once and did it was just like a 3-question thing, and this was before I totally knew about Elvis, but I know he was a big football fan, and he played with his friends back in like 1956-57. Also, there's a picture of him right before he died, a couple months before, where he played just football in Hawaii. But yeah, he was a big fan of football, and I'm pretty sure it was the Cleveland Browns, which was one of his favorites because one of his friends liked it. I feel like it was that or something else, but I'm pretty sure it was the Cleveland Browns, which was his favorite team, or the Browns. I'm not sure. I don't want to say I'm right, because then if someone sees that I'm wrong, they're gonna kill me.
You get so much hate mail,
right? I trust me, man. Like literally, there's like this one person. I'm not gonna name her, but literally, it's hard to explain. It's just she tries to find wrong in everything I say, and I just, it's so annoying. Like she'll just say something like, "Oh, I saw this guy drinking once," and I was like, "What?" I'm 17. She thought I was like drinking at a show. And I was like, what? I was like, never.
Now, you know, is this like just your a hater, or is it someone you know?
It's a fan, but it's like one of those like weirdos, man, because I was at this other Elvis's show for New Year's Eve. And everyone was drinking sparkling wine, but I was drinking like that fake grape juice, whatever it's called.
Yeah, the non-alcoholic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, but then someone was saying online about my age, like he's 17, and then she comments on it and says, oh, I didn't know you 17. I saw him drinking at the show. And I was like, what the hell? And I, oh my God, man, I was so pissed. And, you know, and luckily this lady doesn't come to my shows, man. Thank God, because, you know, then she would say, oh, I seen him in the back smoking a bowl. And I'm like, no, I don't. I'll be like, no, I didn't. It was fake. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But, you know.
It was. I didn't inhale, damn
it. Oh. I didn't inhale. It was a fake one. It was a fake one.
It's hashish. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
You know, it just people don't like, some people like to comment about like school and stuff. But, you know, I just wish, and this happened with Elvis and also with a lot of celebrities these days. I'm not saying I'm a celebrity. I'm doing this locally, but I'm hoping one day to get well known like some of the guys in the business. But a lot of problems with these other people is if you do one little thing wrong, fans will hate you for it. And, you know, personally, I think, and this is what I try to do, I try to keep a lot to myself politically or just personally, because I don't want to lose any fans based on that. You know, sometimes fans will say, or some Elvises will say, like, who they like politically or not, but then you lose half your fans. You know, especially right now in this today's world, it's very, you know, controversial. So I just always stayed out of it. And also, you know, I just, some of these fans, man, like to get involved in people's personal lives, and I don't get it. Kind of like that one lady about, like, drinking, smoking. Like, obviously I don't, but it's just weird that people need to, like, comment about that stuff. You know, I just don't get it. You know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's it gets quite difficult, especially the more spotlight is on you.
Exactly.
You know, the more people just want to get up in your business. I mean, look at Kanye got, I think he got taken off of Instagram, Kanye really? West, for talking for like a day or two, I think, for airing his opinion about, I don't know. But just any little thing like that, you know, it could be something totally legitimate. Like, oh, you know,
right?
He could be saying something about his kid. Like, I don't want my kid to be doing whatever, whatever. And people will get upset over it. And then you get canceled. Know,
I just believe people can voice their opinions as long as it's not violent. You know, like, no one should go out and hurt people. I don't believe in that. But people can voice their opinions and try to get people involved, you know, but I don't think people need to be shut down for that reason. You know, whoever side you're on, I don't even care. Just in general, you know, people should just say or keep it to themselves or say it, you know, and just that's the problem with celebrities or Elvis tribute artists. Sometimes they'll say too much online and then you lose a few fans because of that. And I just learned, and it's funny because I'm 17 and a lot of these guys are in their 40s. So it's like, you know, it's like what I thought I would be the one that's not the mature one, you know, like, but it's vice versa actually. And it's crazy. Actually, a lot of the younger ones, besides a couple guys, like I know, you know, are very mature in this business. Like Everett Dean, Bill Cherry, they're my two good friends. They're like the most popular in the business. And I adore them. I look up to them. I'm actually doing a show with them in June in St. Louis. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, this is a great time to plug that show. So go ahead and give whatever date that's coming up for you.
Well, it's on June 18th. And I'll post it on my Facebook, which is Landon James. That's my profile, but also you can go on Landon James ETA. That's my like Facebook page. And we're going to be posting it soon. We're still confirming certain things, or we are going to be posting it soon. But lately with the pandemic, obviously it's not in all states, but in kind of like St. Louis, Illinois, they had to cancel the show a couple times due to, you know, to the pandemic. So we're going to kind of have to see if it's still going on, but I always update people on my Facebook page or my website, which is LandonJamesETA.com. So people can check out there for my other show dates and also that show.
Okay. So make sure to go check out his Facebook. Going back to the censorship thing. Censorship. Wasn't it sort of almost the same thing with Elvis back in the day, like when he first went on television? How some people were going against him for some of the dance moves he was doing?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, he joked about it. They would shoot him from the waist up. That's, in quote, what he said, you know? And it's funny, you know, because it's like, why would people get mad for someone just shaking hips on stage? You know, like, I get it. Back in the day, it was very more private, I guess. And also, you weren't known to swear back on TV then, obviously. You know, now you hear, or even in music back then, you never heard anyone swear in songs or anything. It was considered like a sin then. Now you obviously hear a lot of swears in every song, you know,
yeah,
all the rap songs and
just open up TikTok and see all the stuff you'll see.
Oh,
more than hip gyrations.
Yeah, it's just funny because now it's so, I guess you would say vulgar, I guess, is, or explicit, I guess you would say, but then it was just gyrating hips, but people made a deal about it. Even someone in Florida, a judge in Florida wanted, I think, put him in jail. But, you know, he did something different with the moving like that, which I guess people caught on. You know, there's probably a couple things, but I don't totally know. But you know, yeah, there was the censorship though with the moves, and I think what show was it? I want to say not the Milton Berle show, maybe the Steve Allen show. I don't know, but there's one show where they didn't let him move, and he sang Hound Dog to a dog, and it was weird. But then he sang I Want You, I Need You, I Love You, but he didn't move, and he kind of laughed because he was about to do a move, but he had to hold back. But, you know, after people started getting used to it and, you know, he got really well known, obviously, then it was okay. He could do as many moves as he wants, you know, and stuff like that.
So, yeah, you're right. People are going to have to start looking for that clip now. It might be interesting to watch. So I enjoyed Elvis when I heard him as a young age, but I grew up in the age of hip hop and rap music. You know, I'm in my early 40s. So what can you tell me, if you know, of like someone like Eminem or maybe some other artist would say about Elvis taking music from another genre and making it his own or making it famous? What do you think about that, or what do you know about that?
Well, one specific artist that I know about that was, this is a little before, this is like 80s, real early 90s, but Freddie Mercury, Queen. Freddie Mercury was a huge Elvis fan. Crazy Little Thing Called Love was based off of Elvis, actually. And also Bruno Mars. And this is a real big fun fact. Some people know, some don't, but he actually tributed to Elvis at a real, real early age, like 3 years old or less. Bruno Mars was a huge Elvis fan. But then you see how successful Bruno Mars was, Freddie Mercury was with Queen. But all of them were based off of Elvis, obviously, like the Beatles, stuff like that. I'm trying to think of any more like real, real modern people, but I know Blake Shelton, when there's a guy in The Voice that sang an Elvis song, Blake Shelton was loving it and said how much he loved Elvis. And since he loved Elvis, he loved this guy and, you know, obviously turned around the chair for him. So, you know, a lot of people are very inspired by Elvis to this day still. And I think that's awesome that his legacy has been carrying on like over 45 years since he died in 1977.
Nice. Okay, so what do you think? Is this something that you're going to continue on going for? Are you going to continue making this a career? Do you think like your vocal range could move you to try doing other artists or maybe other types of music or your songs? Or are you going to stick with the Elvis?
Sorry, let me get a quick sip of water. I'm sorry.
Sure, no problem. Go ahead. So while he's doing that, everybody, just make sure to follow him and also reach out to him if you want him to perform in your neck of the woods. I'm sure all the dates and information will be on his Facebook page.
Yep.
And if he has a website as well there. And anything that that he wants to give to me, I'll put it on the description box below.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then to answer your question, though, I was in a rock band a couple years ago. I used to be able to sing like Back in Black by AC/DC. I used to be able to sing really, really high. But, you know, I thought about getting into maybe a Dave Matthews tribute to reach a younger crowd. But since I've been doing Elvis for a while now, it's kind of hard to transition. Obviously, I'm actually real easily able to switch voices if I need to. It's more of because I kind of made my name known as Elvis, and I do a lot of shows already as Elvis. It would be weird to fully switch to something like that. But one thing I am planning to do in the future is doing a couple originals. When I get really known, I don't want to do it yet because I'm not really, really known yet, but when I do, I really want to, you know, spread my own music around because, you know, obviously I can sing like Elvis, at least of what I think and people thought as well, because I actually won a 2021 Tupelo Elvis Youth Festival. I won that, and I just won the award of the 2022 Windy City People's Champion. So that was cool. I didn't get like first, second, or third, but I was the people's choice because the people liked me the most out of everybody there. So, nice. You know, I considered that more of an honor than, you know, because three judges or five judges, they're going to be biased no matter what in anything. But when the crowd considered me their favorite, that means the world to me. So, you know, though I am planning to do this as long as there's still Elvis fans out there, just people that are willing to come out and listen. And, you know, tomorrow I have a show at Mama Luigi's in Bridgeville, Illinois. A couple groups reserved, but in total it's 82 people, at least of yesterday, that are coming to the show. And that's going to fill up the whole banquet room there. So I'm very proud of the success. Me, my manager Kevin, and my mom and dad, and Chris, and another couple people that brought to me, you know. And, you know, I think now that this new Elvis biopic is coming out with Austin Butler, Tom Hanks, I think that's going to start getting more people involved in wanting to hear more Elvis or learn more. So I think that the Elvis fans will always be there. I think it's just I have like 20 shows coming up or a little more, a little less. But, you know, I think after all these shows, I think it's going to spread a lot more out there, you know. And also a lot of Elvis tribute artists already perform all over the world. Some form in Canada, UK, Switzerland, Chile. I could name a bunch of places. But I think that after all these shows I do, I think it's going to really help me gain new fans, because a lot of these guys have their same fans, you know, and, you know, a lot of these same fans go to every single show. I'm starting to gain fans that never even saw Elvis tribute artists before, but because they heard me and liked me, they're interested to come to my shows. So I'm very happy and thankful for my fans and people that have been letting me continue doing this.
So do you also do you do videos? You do Facebook, YouTube videos or anything like that, or Instagram?
Yeah. So I think I have my card on me.
Sure.
So I can read some of this out. Yeah. I printed out like 1,000 of these cards, so I have them laying around everywhere.
Nice.
But my YouTube is LandonJames_ETA. That stands for Elvis Tribute Artist. And Instagram is LandonJames1977. Snapchat is LandonJamesETA. Facebook page is LandonJamesETA. And then I made a TikTok. I never posted on it yet because I don't want to do those like moves that like Charlie D'Amelio does or whatever. I can't do that. I can do Elvis moves, but I can't do like that bump, 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 you know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do. Yeah, yeah.
It's like where they put their hands in the fist and go, bop, 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 and then they answer the question.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know
where they get
that
from. Where do these trends come from? It's crazy.
I'm going to have to do that. Like, Elvis Tree Bears, how long have you been doing this? Bop, 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 bop. 9 years, but not. Oh, my God. But then my website is LandonJamesETA.com. Sorry, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I was on TikTok for a brief moment until I got banned, obviously, for, you know, political stuff. But the one trend that might be fun, I don't know if that can still stand, is that did you ever see those, lamplight TikToks?
Huh.
Like, when they turn on the lamplight and they can, like, switch a costume or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I could do that for Elvis.
Yeah, you can do that for Elvis. That might be a good one, a little trendy thing. I don't know. Maybe that trend has passed, but I think it's pretty good.
You know what's funny? There's a guy that does like this face swap with Elvis, and he looks just like Elvis with the face swap.
Oh,
like,
wow.
But it doesn't look like, because he already has like the face shape of Elvis, like a very chiseled out jawline, I guess you would say. So he already has the look, but then he puts the face feature and like pretends to talk like Elvis, or they have like lip syncing. But it's really cool. A lot of people liked it, and I think it got over like millions of views. And it was.
Oh, wow.
Like, just in general. So I'm thinking maybe I could be the first Elvis tribute artist to, like, just do an Elvis tribute thing, not just do a face swap, because I think that's just a little, just, you know, okay, you know. But I think it'll be fun to explain maybe the world of Elvis tribute artists, but kind of make it fun and something for younger generations to like.
So do you know any other young people around you that Because you're 17 now, right? So
yeah,
I'm still surprised that people, younger generations now still can get into Elvis. Like, oh, do you find that that's the case now with even younger generation now? You think they can still get into the Elvises, the Michael Jacksons, maybe the Madonnas?
The Madonnas.
Yeah, I don't know about Madonnas, but who knows?
Right, but I could tell you that when I did the Elvis competition in Tupelo, the youth competition, this is when I was 16, about a year ago in, I think, June. There is like 15, 20 youth Elvises. So there's a couple that were my age, actually older. So, you know, obviously we got more in the top three and stuff. I got first. Another guy got second, which was 17 at the time. Third place was like 14s. And one of the guys was like late 17, almost 18. So, you know, I had a big challenge with that. But, you know, there's obviously like younger kids in it. And actually, there are a lot of young people, obviously not as much as like per se an elderly crowd, but a lot of the elderly crowd will try to get their grandkids into it. And at least of what I see, it seems to work out pretty well. But I think the way I'm going to get a younger crowd into it is by doing some of the more fast songs of Elvis. So I always do Sweet Caroline like Elvis did, because everyone knows Sweet Caroline. Also, I'll add like A Little Less Conversation. That's a real popular one with the crowds. I'll try to be authentic, but at the same time, add my own. Like, obviously, I'll do songs that Elvis did, but it's kind of like, which ones will I want to do in a show, which will kind of reel everybody in. And also, I'll pass out scarves, teddy bears during the shows. And also, I joke a lot during my shows. And Elvis did too. So, you know, it gets everyone interested in it. And actually, a lot of 20 to 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds actually like it. So I think that's a big accomplishment, because not a lot of Elvis troubadours can say their fans are in that age range. So I think that's something new I'm bringing to the table of being an Elvis tribute.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. Hey, man, everybody should go check out this young man's shows and you'll get a gift. That's pretty good. You don't get that every day. What about so what do you do when you're not working on this? I mean, you're 17, you're fairly young still. So what is there anything else that occupies your time?
Good question. I have to think about that one, because I live Elvis.
Elvis all the
like
time.
I don't live
27.
Well, no,
that's fine.
I'm just kidding. But, you know.
No, you got to love your passion, bro.
Yeah. Well, obviously, kind of like earlier I said, I don't think I'm Elvis. And I hope any other Elvis tribute doesn't think that. Obviously, Elvis impersonators do it, or at least in public they think they are. You know, I hope they're not at home in private. They wake up, you know, and they're like going to their girlfriend or wife and they're like, hey, baby. You know, or like they want them. And they're
trying to get that
hands.
One little curl in their hair. Like
yeah. But, you know, I hope that wouldn't be the case. But, you know, I play, obviously, a lot of guitar on the side. And when I'm not doing anything musical, I'll just go out with, like, my friend Kevin or Andrew or Chris, or just hang out, watch maybe. I'm into comedy movies. I'm not really into drama. I'm not into the drama thing, unless it's an Elvis drama. But, you know,
Elvis do a lot of drama movies?
Probably do, see, right? One of the, I don't know the word, but people, when they think of Elvis movies, they think about the corny Elvis movies, at least coming from people that kind of know who Elvis is, but isn't. But the only reason why was, basically, first in 1956, he did Love Me Tender. It was his first movie, and it was pure drama. Like, nothing really comedy in it. So until after he got back out of the military, when he got drafted in 1958, 1960, he got out and started doing movies like G.I. Blues, Blue Hawaii, Follow That Dream. And those movies had some jokes in it. It was fun, but still good. But then later, probably after Viva Las Vegas in 1964, the movie started getting very corny. It was always about Elvis getting the girl, then losing the girl, then getting her back. And there was always jokes and stuff in it. But I love every movie he has, but they did get corny towards the end of his life. But answering your question, though, like, he loved Elvis. he was quoted saying this, but he enjoyed doing drama. He loved it. He did it towards the end, towards 1969, when he started doing live performances again, like before that, when he was still doing movies. He didn't like doing some of his last movies because he thought they were just pure stupid. He liked doing, he wanted to be an actor like James Dean, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's why some of his first movies are more, you know, drama filled and more passion than his last movie.
He probably wanted to be seen as a serious actor, right?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah. You quoted exactly what he said. He wanted to be a serious actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be legit. I want to be a contender. did you ever see the movie Grease?
Oh yeah, with John Travolta.
Yeah. Do you think like Travolta and maybe I'm trying to think of, I don't know if Andrew Dice Clay fits in that. He's a comedian. Old comedian.
I know. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Do you think they all kind of like try to mesh the same mold as an Elvis?
Hey, Mary Miss Muffet sat on a tub. Oh, yeah, I know you're talking. My dad loved that. Oh, man. Oh, and my mom and dad loved that. I don't want to say the jokes because then we're going to really get banned on here.
Yeah. I know.
Kind of like problems. The TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I'm just kidding, but yeah, like, you know, they're kind of just representing more of the I guess you would say that it's the word I'm thinking, greaser. Yeah, so basically just they're kind of doing more of the kind of like early year style of Elvis, where they would all assume, like, kind of even like the movie, you know, The Outsiders with Patrick Swayze and right. Tom was in and a couple more actors, but they all had the leather jackets, the white shirt, and then the baggy jeans, and then he put their hair in a pompadour. Because later in Elvis's years, he had his hair down and did like more of a shaggier style. But, you know, they're just kind of like representing, I guess, his early years. And, you know, Elvis wore leather jackets in 1968 when he did the comeback special. In the 50s, I think he did sometimes, but it was more flamboyant shirts, like pink, green shirts with high-waisted pleated pants, black pants with like black shoes and stuff like that. But you know, it's cool, like they try to act like Elvis because they think the leather jacket and stuff. I think it's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, they try to channel their inner Elvis.
Yeah,
that's yeah, man, that's awesome. So I'm trying to see what other avenues I can take. So just really quick, like you said your parents were metalheads, right? So how was that upbringing with your parents and you? Like, were they like musically, you know, were they involved in music while you were growing up?
Well,
I mean, besides listening to it?
Well, no, yeah. My dad always wanted to, but he never got the chance. But my mom did a little bit in high school, like I said, with the French horn or whatever. But my grandpa, on a different note, he was in a Beatles tribute band. He did Beatles mostly and sometimes had a few others. But he was known in Chicago for a while, but then the band broke up, kind of like every typical band, you know. Mm-hmm. But my parents, though, you know, they actually, at first, it was a little different. That was kind of how it was with Elvis's parents, you know, it was different at first, but then they loved it, you know. And I think my parents, after seeing how much I got into it and loved it, they started to love it. Like every day now we're singing Elvis songs and stuff. So I think they love it and they support me 100%. And that's what I really love about having my parents be involved and stuff like that.
That's beautiful, man. So you said that you dabble in other artists. Like, have you done like a hard rock cover or anything like that? Do you do
oh, yeah.
that or?
And my shows, like I said, you know, I'll do like Paranoid, War Pigs, Whole Lot of Love, Led Zeppelin, sometimes, or Dave Matthews even. Like, I'll add that at my shows just to change it up. You know, obviously, I don't sing it in my Elvis voice. That'd be dumb. I sing it in my voice.
Interesting if you can pull it off. I don't know.
No, actually, funny enough, I did actually, though, once. I did Highway to Hell. And an Elvis voice. It was weird.
Oh.
But people loved it, man. Well, probably after a couple of drinks they had. After a couple of... Oh, wait, I can't say that, though. The one fan will post about it, remember?
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, they're going to say, you're drinking. No. No.
He's like, yeah, you should come and join me. Anyway.
right?
So, okay, so let's see. So your next show is in June or July?
Well, the show with Bill.
Well, if it goes up, I mean.
Oh yeah, it will be in June 18th. But my next show is tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and that's the one with 82 people. So hopefully more, because we've been advertising. By we, I mean me and my manager Kevin have been advertising for the past couple days, even more. Just and we put up a big poster in the restaurant. It's a restaurant slash banquet, but seems like it's gonna be successful. So, you know, tomorrow morning I'm gonna around like 1 or 2. I'm gonna go there. I get there really early. I'm always been an early bird. I'm gonna go there, set up, and get it all ready. You know, and make sure it's all perfect.
Okay. All right. So one last question. What's your sign?
What?
What's your astrological sign?
Capricorn.
Nice. Cool, man.
No, I didn't know what you said at first. I was like, a sign? What? A
sign? What do you mean?
I thought you meant that. I thought you meant like what you said, astrological or whatever. But, you know, I was like, what? A sign of what? I was like, what?
That's
actually
fine.
I was going to say, if you want, I could play a song real quick for you on guitar.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I just before we head out, I just wanted to give everybody a taste of what to look forward to when they go to one of your shows. So whatever song you want to play, man, how short or how long you want to do it is up to you. But whenever you're ready.
Awesome. Can you hear this?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Baby, I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Baby, I quite as often as I could have. Little things should have said in time. I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And die. Give me one more chance to keep you satisfied. Little things should have said. I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind.
Beautiful, beautiful, man. I enjoyed that. That was really good. That was really good, man.
Thank you. Very good. I like that crowd applause there, man.
Yeah. You deserve it, bro. You deserve it. So let everybody know where can people find all your information and where they can book you if they need.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first off, people can reach me directly at my number, which is 630-780-0983. Also, my YouTube is LandonJames_ETA. My Instagram is LandonJames1977. My Snapchat is LandonJamesETA. My Facebook page is LandonJamesETA. Then my TikTok is at LandonJames1977. And then my website is LandonJamesETA.com. So the best way, though, to reach me is probably through my cell. I'll say it again, 620-780-0983. And then my email. Oh, I just realized I didn't put my email on here. That's not good. But my no, 1,000 cards to win. 1,000 cards to waste. Thank God. Damn. But you could reach out to me at LandonJamesETA@gmail.com.
All right. Landon James. What is it? ETA@gmail.com. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm glad I'm kind of not happy now because I just pay like $50 for these 1,000 cards and now I don't have my email on there. That's good.
Well, that's fine. It's all about traffic, right? So you just drive the traffic to your sites and then put the emails there.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding, though. I was just like, man, I quadruple checked it. Like, you know, I checked it. And then the one thing I forget was my email. It's like out of everything it had to be. not the TikTok, you know?
Yeah. Hey, man, at least you gave your number out first. Like, that's if you can't reach him after giving out your number, I mean, then I don't know. There's an issue. There's always a text or a voicemail if for some reason you don't pick up. That's awesome. Yeah. At least you got your number there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I like try to write a professional voicemail and I wrote it down and I set it on there and I'm like, contact Landon James. It's kind of funny. So, nah.
Do you do the, what do they call those? Oh man, they have like people, like celebrities, you can send them money and then they'll leave you a voicemail or send you a message or something like that. Forget the name of that
not sure.
That app or whatever service that was.
You have to find out, let me know, because maybe I'll do it. It'll be like, oh, you just contacted Landon James.
Yeah.
The guy that has 30 fans on the left.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So everybody, make sure to go check out this young lad. So, what do you do on the weekends, bro? What are your plans? Are you guys celebrating St. Patrick's Day or anything like that?
Oh yeah, like actually, right after this, I'm going downstairs. I think to eat. I think they're making my mom and dad are making like corned beef with cabbage or whatever it is.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But then the store gave us the wrong corned beef. They gave us like sliced, not like the whole thing. So my dad and mom are pissed. So that's. But you know, this weekend, tomorrow obviously the show, and then the weekend I'll probably just go out or relax. We're actually planning to move to Michigan or Indiana or Wisconsin. Not sure yet because the taxes in Illinois are really high, so we want to get out of here. But I won't say more than that, but you know.
No, that's fine. You know, is your show that you're doing tomorrow in Illinois?
Yeah, it's in Bridgeview, Illinois. Yeah.
Are all the tickets already sold out and everything?
Very close. To be honest, I think the last show we did when it sold out was 103. So we're at like 82 right now. So there's still like 21 tickets available. Or not tickets, it's free to go. It's just. You get a reservation. You can order dinner or drinks if you want there, but you get to enjoy the show complimentary.
Right. Okay. Cool. So is that something that you want to give out, that information, that venue?
Sure. I'm on my...
Because I'm most likely going to play this, tomorrow. Yeah. So, you can still get some extra people there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I have my computer right here. I just searched it. So it's tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. The address is 7500 South Harlem Avenue, Bridgeview, Illinois. And then you could call 708-496-0900 for reservations.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Thank you very much for your time. I greatly appreciate it, brother. And keep on moving and keep on pursuing your dreams, bro.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on here. It was fun talking to you, man, especially about the TikTok.
yeah. I hope I see you on there, man, and see some funky videos, bro. That'll be nice.
Right. You too, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Take care.